The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he replied. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt is forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza. Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of the gospel might be on our side.
Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I wonder if we would hear more of this gospel if we retitled it, not a story about the sinful woman, but about the sinful Pharisee. It's interesting that when we eventually hear the Pharisee's name, it turns out to be Simon. The same Simon, at least in name, as the leader of the 12 apostles. Maybe Jesus is just hinting that there might be a little bit too much Pharisee in each one of us. Let me explain. The Pharisee Simon invites Jesus to the table. Wonderful gift of hospitality, but we're not clearly sure why he invites them. Did he invite him so that he could learn from him? He seems to say so. "Yes, teacher, teach me. I'm ready to listen." But he fails to provide any of the hospitality that was required when you invite someone to dinner. They were still at the hors d'oeuvre section, right? They were washing up before the meal. And we don't know if the servants particularly skipped over Jesus as they washed the other guests' feet. But in a way, he was left out of that sign of hospitality, of welcome to his home. You washed your feet out of necessity. You perfumed your body out of necessity. This was a culture that bathed, you know, semi-annually. There wasn't a lot of water down there. And the idea was that you got all cleaned up, but you were probably hungry. Everyone was short on calories, and so you were having flatbread and olive paste and hummus or something like that as you began the meal. You should have been welcomed with a kiss of peace, right, into the home. And Simon fails to do all of these things. Now, this woman who is a known sinner comes and takes care of those needs to welcome Jesus into Simon's home. We don't know who she is or what her sin is. We don't know what her age is. One commentator said that she could be a widow because widows would be the only ones allowed in to the dinner table with the men. The only ones allowed to serve the men. Otherwise, it would have been young men serving the others. But we're not sure. Simon just knows her as a sinner. Doesn't even know her name. I wonder how often we've reduced those other people just to them. You know, those people who don't agree with us and don't, you know, believe like we do or hold the same political convictions that we do. Simon is the self-righteous, and she's clearly a sinner. I don't need to know anything about her. And Jesus says, "Do you see her?" Simon's like, you can't cry enough tears to wash someone's feet quietly. Yeah, we've all noticed she's here. But Simon doesn't get the story that just followed previous, right? He says, I suppose it's the one who was forgiven 500 days' wages. If you were poor in the first century and you owed someone 500 days' wages, were you ever going to catch up on that? No way. So the creditor said, you know, I'm just going to let this go. Let's start over. It would take one bad season and a low yield of grain to push you into poverty, to push you into a sharecropper, to then make you dispossessed and kicked off your own ancestral land. I wonder if the woman knew Jesus to be one of those dispossessed, right? He's from the town of David, but he's not living there. He's living in Nazareth as not a landowner, but a tradesman, a carpenter, more like a builder, right? He did foundations on up. What did she see? And how many times had she met Jesus before? We don't know. But we can guess that they knew each other. And she shows great love. She realizes that Jesus has been invited into one of the most important people in town's home. And he's disrespecting. Simon is disrespecting the Lord. And she wants to turn that around. I wonder how often we come to the defense of those who are being disrespected by our political system, or our medical system, or our judicial system, or our church system. How often do we come to the defense of those who have no voice? She clearly has no voice. She says nothing through the entire gospel. It's hinted that she might be one of those who is journeying with Jesus, providing for him and the 12 out of their own means, as the gospel concludes. Now, what are we to learn from this? Well, I'd suggest that we don't learn very well, and often our sin is too close to us to have it said so blatantly to us that we need to reform our lives. That only works once in a while. Imagine Nathan's problem as Bathsheba is in David's palace, and he's got to convince the king that he's really, really fallen far from God. He says, I can't tell him directly because he doesn't think what he did was wrong, or he wouldn't have done it. Right? Does any of us set up ourselves to sin? Oh yeah, I think I'm going to go out and sin today. No, it kind of sneaks up on us, right? We think we're choosing a good, and in fact, it is not. I mean, I think that's how Satan works. He twists it just enough that he can convince us that an evil appears to be a good. David has clearly fallen away from God. And so instead of addressing him directly and addressing his sin directly, he tells him a story. And he says there was this family who had one little ewe lamb. And it was their beloved ewe lamb. And they kept it as a pet. It, in fact, slept with the family in the home. This would have been like, no. Sheep don't sleep in home. Right? Sheep sleep outside. People sleep at home. This pet lamb was precious to this family. And the king takes it, slaughters it, and gives it to a guest who came for dinner. Kind of on a whim. And David is furious and says, that man who stole that ewe lamb should die. And then Nathan, putting on his track shoes, says, you're that man, and sprints out of the palace. And gives David the time to think about it. Right? Bathsheba was that ewe lamb. Uriah's wife. David gets it. And he says, you know, I'm guilty. He doesn't claim that someone else made him do it. He doesn't claim he had an alibi. He doesn't claim it wasn't me. He says, I'm guilty. I've sinned against God. Maybe that's why the first thing we do when we gather, we sing a hymn, right? We get all united, make the sign of the cross, and say, welcome to our parish. Now let's admit our sinfulness. It's the only place I know that we do this. I haven't been doing that at board meetings, right? I don't do that on the soccer club. You know, it's okay. Let's call to mind our sins. You're offsides. We don't do that. And you know what? Mea maxima culpa's on its way back. Probably in a couple years, we'll be striking our chest three times saying, you know, Lord, I'm a sinner. Because otherwise, we're no better than Simon the Pharisee, who clearly hasn't kept all 613 laws that he thinks he's going to gain salvation by perfectly. Right? It was an impossible task. That's why Jesus came. If the law was sufficient, as Paul said, we would have no need for Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. What if Jesus is teaching us there's a new way to be holy? Imagine, instead of becoming unclean when you touch something unclean, right? That was Simon's worry, right? Wow, if the Lord knew who that was, wouldn't be letting her touch her, because now he's unclean and I don't really want to invite him into dinner. Right? You stay out here in the mudroom with your muddy friends. I'm going to dinner with my pure friends. That's what Simon is thinking. And Jesus says, what happens if you touch something that's so clean and so pure that it absorbs all of that brokenness and it vanishes from you? And in fact, you become clean by contact with the Lord. The woman who loved much knew that for certain. She had to push through all kinds of boundaries and make a huge scene. Right? To cry enough tears to wash someone's feet, you're making a huge scene at any house. She anointed his feet with the most pure oil. Regular oil came in a flask or a jar. Very special perfume came in an alabaster jar. She wasted no expense on welcoming the source of this purity into her life. Do we welcome God with that same reckless abandon? Are we willing to make a scene for Jesus? Right? On how much God has loved us and set us free of our brokenness? Or do we sit at some distance from God going, you know, those other people, I'm glad I'm not like them. I've had those thoughts. Right? And then I've gone to confession because that's not really a helpful way to live. If we continue to judge others as less worthy of God's love, we continue to hold ourselves hostage to our sinfulness and fail to enjoy God's love. The woman who loved much is enjoying God's love, grace and mercy and love to reckless abandon are flowing out of her, and Simon doesn't get it. He says, well, you know, I suppose the one who's been forgiven 500 days' wages might be a little more grateful. Simon, a little more grateful? Like, you've just gone from dead to alive, right? You could be thrown in prison for not keeping up with your debts. And the landowner has set you free. Yeah, a little grateful? Simon's not willing to enter anything with his whole mind, body, heart, and soul. Although he prays that prayer every day, three times a day, I shall love the Lord with all of my strength, all of my mind, all of my heart. He prays the Shema every day. And Jesus is saying, this woman, Simon, is doing it. Here's the Lord in your midst, being loved with reckless abandon, and you miss it. In a few minutes, we're going to come forward to touch the one who is so pure, so holy, so filled with grace that our sinfulness is vanished. Right? There's no darkness in Christ, and there's no darkness that we can affect. There's no sin so good or so big that Jesus' love and mercy will not wash it away. What if we had that in mind when we came forward to the Eucharist today and receive in our hand the very one who is the light of the world? And we feast on that. And then, having been set free of our brokenness, we go out and set others free. Right? We all probably have a dozen or so people who we're still holding on to old grudges. Personally, I don't think they still care about it. You know, my high school water polo coach who didn't promote me to the varsity team probably doesn't even remember me. But I'm still mad at him. Right? And where is that getting me? Grumpy. Probably an ulcer. That hasn't affected the coach at all. So if you're holding on to some really old hurts, even if they're just from yesterday, let them go. Let them go today. Let them be absorbed into God's mercy and set yourself free through the grace that Christ gives us day after day after day. Let us learn to love much. Then Jesus will say to us, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.